this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bell Ringer. My name is Greg Pokricki. Your guest names are Chris Beckage from Acara and Pete Petrella from Viaduct. Today, we're talking about recruiting for startups, what type of people or personality types make a good fit for those type of companies, and who isn't a good fit. We talk about Buffalo's entrepreneurial ecosystem, how this region and our low-cost region can help lengthen a company's runway, and we cover a bunch of other things. It's a really great episode. I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you so much for listening. All right, so thank you very much for coming in. What I want to start with is just a brief introduction of yourself and your organization. So, Chris, why don't you start? What is Acara?
Sure, let me start with who I am first. Chris Beckage. I'm a Senior Vice President at Acara Solutions. I oversee North America. Well, Acara is a talent acquisition partner for companies of all sizes. We work with them to evaluate who they are as a company, how they can attract talent, retain talent, and then we go out and find that talent for them that can come on and help them grow in whatever way they choose.
And Pete, what is Viaduct and a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So Pete Petrella, Managing Director at Viaduct. We are very similar to Acara, but we focus specifically on startups and emerging businesses. So we help them find talent. We're also consulting with them, strategizing, you know, how to build a team, why it's so important, especially at the early stage of their company, and why they would want to have the right hires, and how the cost of a bad hire could be really bad for them and detrimental to their business.
Right. So we're doing a couple podcasts on hiring and recruiting. We've done one focusing on the manufacturing industry specifically, and what I want to kind of focus on is startups, regardless of industry. And I guess my first question is, why do you think that distinction is important? What makes startups different, and what makes their culture different than something that we would focus on industry specific?
Sure. So, you know, industry specific, typically you have businesses that are a little more advanced along the way. Startups is just what the word says. It's a company that's just starting up. So they will have, instead of having, an engineering department, they may have an engineer. Or instead of having a sales department, they may have a salesperson. So having that, you know, small team, and the mentality of taking from a founder an idea that they had, bringing it to a business, is exactly what the team needs to start to adapt. So we really try to find people that will be comfortable wearing many hats, working within, you know, a small group. They have to be a team player, have to be really adaptable to change. And, you know, startups, a week in a startup is like a year in a more established business. So they have to be comfortable with that type of environment. And that's why the culture is different. And that's why it's different than more of an established business,
right,
like a manufacturing.
Just add what Pete said there. It's flexibility and it's a lifestyle too. So when you're in a startup company, it's not an 8-to-5 job. You have to do everything to get to the next goal. And when we're evaluating talent for these organizations, we're looking for that passion and that commitment, and that, in particular, the commitment to do what that organization wants to do to grow. Whereas it's typical company that's been around for many years, people have more of a mentality, I can, 8-to-5 type of thing, and I can have separation when I go home, it's my own time, which is fair, but in the startup community, that doesn't always work.
Right.
And when you're hiring, you mentioned you might not have an engineering department, you have an engineer. Do you think that creates a smaller margin of error when you're adding talent, because it's that one person is going to play such a pivotal role?
For sure, and that's why hiring the right person is so important, because, you know, in where we help is finding fit and culture and, you know, the person that is going to be able to take on that full responsibility, because if they don't, to your point, that is going to be detrimental to their business. It is kind of all on them, you know, at that juncture in what they're doing. Founders typically, again, they'll have the idea. They'll have maybe some sort of expertise. Maybe they are an engineer, or maybe they're just a great salesperson, and they need to find people that will complement them in different ways. And typically in that early stage, it is very important. Now, the other thing is, you know, to get, when it the onus is all on that person, but also surround that person with mentors and advisors and people that have been there and done it a bit. So it's okay to maybe make a mistake, but, you know, someone that could get them through that mistake and make sure that they're start moving in the right direction.
And just to add there too, is we want someone that's focused on it, has a good business sense to them. In a startup environment, you don't have an unlimited budget. You don't have unlimited resources. You have to work with what you have. And that's a different mindset from someone coming from a big company that's used to having, you know, 10 engineers to work with, a marketing team to work with, et cetera. This person has to understand the budget is what it is, and we have to make it work within that budget.
Mm-hmm. So those are people that fit, I think, obviously the other side of that coin, and maybe a better question is, who is not a good fit for a startup business?
Well, I think Chris brought up the point of someone, you know, who isn't ready to live and breathe that startup. It becomes their life. You know, a lot of people get attracted to the startup space because it's fun and cool and there's ping pong tables around and different, you know, workspaces that have become really unique and different and, you know, are able to attract people on their own. But when you really dig into a startup, you know that it's a lot of hard work. You're kind of starting really from the bottom and you have to work your way up. You know, you're not selling or representing a brand that has been established and around that people recognize. So you have to really grow that brand from within. So, you know, that type of person and it needs to, you know, they need to be ready to do that and kind of jump all in. They need to be adaptable to change. I think I mentioned before that startups change quickly. They'll change course of action. They'll change product. They'll change service in a fairly quick, you know, situation. So they have to be okay with that. And they have to, you know, be ready to really work hard, you know, and not that you don't work hard in a more established business, but typically you have your lane and you're able to stay in your lane. And in a startup, lanes are very blurry and people, because it's so small, people have to jump over into other lanes and do other things very often. So they have to be okay with that.
Adding in financial risk is something that person has to be willing to take. You're taking a gamble that you can make this startup go to the next level. Sometimes there's equity stakes, sometimes there's not, but if you don't have financial stability at home, it's going to be difficult for you to take maybe a potential lower salary with more upside. So those are things we evaluate with job seekers that want to enter the startup community.
Right. So those are the challenges and the risks. How can you attract experienced people from stable companies? Or is it just the ping pong table, like you mentioned?
No, I think a lot of people from established companies are interested in startup. Typically in a very large, stable company, it's hard to affect change. So in a startup, it's very it's more adaptable to change, as I mentioned. So, you know, the idea to be heard, you know, and to have your ideas thought through and to have opportunity. I was reading the other day where, you know, Google allows 15 hours a week for their employees just to work on something that they're passionate about. You know, things like that where it's encouraged a little bit more sometimes than the established companies to come up with your ideas, you know, and, you know, be able to affect the company in a much bigger fashion. And also people that are willing to take that risk. There are some risk takers out there that they're calculated risks, as, you know, Chris mentioned, but to have something that you can build some ownership within and the upside and building equity within, I think is very attractive to a lot of people from established businesses. So, you know, they have to have those characteristics and traits that we talked about, but also, you know, the fun part of it is if it hits and goes, you know, you're on your way to being very well compensated and feel pretty proud and passionate about something that you helped build from the ground up.
Greg, I would add in, and this is for startups and all companies, it's for the company that wants to hire the talent to build a compelling statement of why someone should work there. Right. So compelling can include you're disrupting a business process, kind of like Uber did to the ride-sharing business. You have a purpose that fits people. You have a career growth. You have equity stake. There's a lot of different scenarios that we would sit down with a business owner and say, why should someone work for you? Give me three compelling reasons why. And those are three difficult things to do, but when you can articulate that, now we can go out to people that are interested and see if it fits their passion, their commitment, and their financial ability to do that.
And do you think things like that have become more important with the changing values of a younger workforce as they mm-hmm. continue to take over their percentages of the workforce.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I feel the younger workforce wants to be more engaged as well. You know, there's things that they look for beyond just money. You know, the engagement level with whether it be ownership or senior management or founders is very important. And you sometimes lose that going in from, you know, going into a more established business that has thousands of employees. You lose that engagement sometimes that younger people are really passionate about and really want to be.
Another way I describe this is having a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Younger people, all people I'm finding now, want to be able to, they have experience, they want to be able to sit at a table like this and have their opinions heard and have an impact on the business. So we want to sit down with the owner of this company or the founders and say, are you willing to be open-minded? Are you willing to have other ideas shared? If so, your business will grow.
Right. So let's talk logistics. What do you think is the best method to recruit for startups, for a company that's starting to hire and grow?
Sure. So understanding first and foremost the founders and what, to Chris's point, what are they doing? What's the value proposition? But also what are they good at? So sitting down with them and saying, okay, what is your role within the company? Do you want to be the head of sales? Do you want to be the product engineer? Do you want to be the service provider? Do you want to just deal with customers? So first of all, understanding that, you know, and the people that are already there. You may have two, you may have four, you may have one. You know, so sitting with whatever the founding team is, understanding all of those situations, and then building around that. So if you got a great salesperson, you may need an operational person that's going to handle the nuts and bolts on a day-to-day basis. So that's what we we'll consult with them to say, okay, here are the roles that we think you're going to need immediately. And then down the line, as you build the team and grow, here are the other things that you're going to need to, the other skill sets that you're going to need to accomplish as well. And then with that, when we're out searching, we actually are starting to develop a startup aptitude assessment. So where we could assess potential candidates to see if they're a good fit to work for a startup. Some of the things I mentioned earlier, you know, when it comes to adaptable to change, being able to wear many hats, being able to do different things, comfortable with that, you know, working with a small team, being a team player, things that we can assess that are soft skills that we'll know right away that if someone in, with a more established company is saying, oh, it looks really cool and fun to go work for a startup, well, we want to know, are you really ready to go, you know, roll your sleeves up and work for a startup? Or do you really not understand what it takes to go work for a startup? So we have a tool that we're working on that's going to assess that.
And even more granularly, the startup community is typically known to be a pretty tight-knit community, especially here in Buffalo.
Sure.
I mean, is it word of mouth or, you know, online job boards, job fairs? Where do you think companies can get the best value to find talent?
It's all the above. The thing about the startup community is they are very open to people wanting to be involved. You can be an investor, you can be an employee of a company, you can be an advisor. There's a lot of different roles you could play of just being involved in the startup community. So I think that it's very all-encompassing, and I think people that are in the startup community know that they need the full community support to help them. So I think there's an openness there. So if people really wanted to be part of it, I think they would have to, you know, just get to some of the events. You guys, you know, Invest Buffalo Niagara has events, Launch New York, 43 North. There's tons of things going on a daily basis that there's startup grinds and, you know, coffee talks and different things that are happening, even, you know, startup weekend and a lot of different granular and organic events that people are doing to get more people from the community involved in the startup space. So I think, you know, just kind of research and open up and look and just go and attend, and people will find a way for you to fit in.
Chris, you talked about the why for why you would want to work for this startup. Does that pitch differ when you're speaking to an experienced candidate versus a more entry-level candidate?
Yes, it does, but I'm going to reverse a little bit. The company has to articulate why for each of those, each segment of the audience they want to go after. So then when we're speaking to a candidate, and part of what you have to assume too, Greg, is most of the candidates that the companies want to hire have a job. So if you make that your core assumption, the way you go approach those people is much different than an unemployed person. Someone that's in a job is going to have different questions, different values, different commitments they want to have. And that's where we have to come in and say to them, back to what I said earlier, what is your plan? What is your purpose? What's the growth strategy? If it's a startup, what's the investment that you have? What's the burn rate on that? How are you going to power your team? Are you going to let people run with what are they're supposed to be doing? Or are you going to be a micromanager? Those are core things that we have to do, and the job market dictates that right now because the unemployment rate is low. It's roughly around 3% right now. For the professionals that are looking to hire, it's often left about half of that, and there's a lot of competition. So you have to have a clear value of why someone should come work for you. And there's some startups that are doing a terrific job with that, where they're articulating the value, they're given equity stake, and they're showing that in 3, 4, 5 years, your equity can be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars plus. And that's appealing for especially young persons that to know you're 25 when you're 30, 35, you might have $500,000 in equity in a company and that you wouldn't have in a traditional American corporate job.
Right. And with the unemployment so low, I think that ties well into my next question. For a company that's on a tight budget, what's the value of using a recruiter when it is so difficult to hire?
The cost of a bad hire is probably the problem. You know, when using a recruiter is going to give you an expertise that you don't have. So we talked earlier about, the founder and what they do well. You know, what a lot of them don't necessarily know how to do or do well is hire, or find people. So they're very focused. Say they've been working on this idea for the last 5 years, and they're now ready to accept investment and build a company around this. So in a startup case, typically they don't know where to look to find the right employees. So having a recruiter, a recruiting resource in some capacity is very beneficial for them, despite any kind of cost. In Viaduct, we help out this. It's a little bit of our give back to the community, and we help out the founders and, from cost perspectives, and we want to make sure we're building the right companies for them and helping them hire the right people, less on the revenue side for us and more on the real culture side and community side for us to help this startup community and the ecosystem grow. And these companies, their first few hires are key. They're just absolutely so important to their company. And we want to make sure that they nail those first few hires and they have the right people that are going to grow that business with them. So
if I can jump in there, what I would want to also add, it's time, expertise, and compliance. So there's reasons in people's personal life you outsource things, cutting your grass, getting your haircut, etc., because you don't have the time or expertise. When you hire a recruiter, our core job is knowing the marketplace, knowing how to reach out to those people and how to attract them to your position. That's a value there. The compliance part comes in, proper interviewing questions, not asking unlawful questions, having a process in place, and then it's the customer experience or candidate experience. So everyone that applies, that goes to Viaduct for a position, we're going to reach out to them and talk to them and help understand what is their needs, what is their values, and maybe push them in a different direction if they're not the right fit. And those are part of the candidate experience that customers would want to have, whether they're a startup or any size company.
Right. And that goes back to the margin of error for a startup. It's just so large. If you make one bad hire, like you said, it can really derail you
right
early on.
Yeah, for sure. Typically, a bad hire will cost you really 6 months in time and a lot of money around that to kind of start that process over again if you really have to. So that's like 5 years, in startup life. So it is detrimental to have a bad hire. So to nail those first few hires are very, very important.
It's also part of your brand too. If you're looking to join a startup, you're going to ask, who have you hired? You're going to do your research and possibly see that this person left. You're going to ask why. And you're going to have to explain that. And sometimes it's just admitting I made a mistake and this is why, and I'm going to move forward. And transparency is not a bad thing.
Right. So you're starting to talk about the, a week in a startup is a year in an established company. Everybody talks about lengthening your runway. I want to talk a little bit about Buffalo and why this is a good place for startups and how to hire specifically here.
Sure.
What makes Buffalo a good place to lengthen a startup company's runway?
Well, the resources that are starting to be established, it started a number of years ago in getting the collaboration between the business community and state and local governments to create, resources, things that Invest Buffalo Niagara has been doing, things that Launch New York and 43 North have been doing. Now to have some national attention to that as well with groups like Techstars and Founders Institute starting to pay attention and establish actually boots on the ground here in Buffalo, there are more resources than there ever has been in Buffalo for you to lengthen that runway and to be successful as a startup. They're starting to attract more, you know, corporate individuals or people who've built businesses. You know, our CEO is a perfect example of someone who lends a lot of his time to the startup community and trying to help them establish, grow, and sustain and, you know, and be in business for as long as possible, so to lengthen that runway. So it is no better time right now with the resources that are available. If you are starting a business, you should be able to find something or someone that can help you, point you in the direction of a group or a accelerator program or an incubator that could probably give you some great guidance.
And it's the juxtaposition of those resources and amenities with being a low-cost city that,
exactly,
you know, being here, you're saving on your bottom line without having to sacrifice any of those resources that you might get in a New York, Boston,
exactly,
you know, Silicon Valley.
Yeah, there's groups out there now that are really understanding the value of being outside of those major, you know, what have been considered startup hubs, you know, especially in, like you said, New York and San Francisco and Boston. They're very expensive to do business. There's a company that was one of the 43 North winners from last year, moved here from California, and have really established themselves here and are staying here. It's a great story for our city. And one of the biggest reasons is the fact that they could really afford to buy houses. They could afford to live a quality life while they're starting their business up. So they're not making very much money, if any money at all, at this point, but able to establish themselves on a much higher quality of life now and have the resources now that are available in Buffalo. So you're getting a bit of the best of both worlds. So you're starting to see more resources be applied here, but you're also still having that cost of living aspect. You know, the downtown scene is obviously coming back in a big way. People like to live, work, and play within a very small radius, you know, nowadays, and be able to walk and bike to things like work and restaurants and others. So you're seeing that, you know, come to life in Buffalo. A very exciting time to be here.
And we're talking about acquiring talent. For a business, a lot of times your largest expense is your human capital and those that you hire. Salaries, you're able to pay less money here, mm-hmm, because the cost of living is so low and that dollar goes a lot further for your employee. They can still, like you said,
absolutely,
live, work, and play,
mm-hmm,
enjoy all the amenities. They can go to a Bills or Sabres game,
right,
all that kind of stuff. Still in Buffalo, you know, doing well for themselves,
mm-hmm,
buying a house, all those type of things.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the other aspect of it, from, we talked a little bit earlier about attraction from the company perspective to get companies to come to Buffalo, the fact that the talent that's here, and there's a lot of talent here, there's less competition to acquire that talent. So the, you know, utilizing the university system we have and the talent that's actually homegrown within, there's a lot, quite a bit of talent that can be tapped into. And instead of, you know, letting that talent get away, now we're able to have companies here that can really attract that talent. So it's you're going to see a lot of growth, and that's why we're one of the highest growing, you know, for population of millennials. It's been a great thing to have these companies come in and be able to hire the jobs that may not have been here when, you know, Chris or I were growing up.
Right. I think the proximity to Canada is also a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
You have Toronto, one of the top 10 cities in North America. It's an hour or so drive away. So if you have to have that appeal of the big city, you can be there an hour or on a plane to New York in 45 minutes. That's helping a lot, too.
Right. And I think of Legworks, a company that we helped in their transition to Buffalo from,
mm-hmm,
San Francisco. A couple of the reasons why they came, and since they're a 43 North winner, they wanted to be close to Toronto. They have,
mm-hmm,
an R&D team in Toronto. And then they have talked about in the past, you know, there's so much talent in San Francisco where they were, but you're competing against thousands of other startups,
mm-hmm,
and these huge established,
right,
tech giants.
Right.
You know, it's in Buffalo, there's the talent available, and like you said, that less competition, which they're a good spokesperson for the argument of why Buffalo?
Yeah, a tremendous spokesperson, because they did move here for reasons of their business. They don't have ties to the community.
Right.
They don't have, you know, there's no other reason than they thought it was good for their business to be here, and they may not have known about it if it wasn't for groups like Invest Buffalo Niagara and, you know, the others that I've mentioned that have been kind of shouting out the resources that are available here and the opportunities that are available here. So they're a tremendous, I think they're a great company. I think they're going to do very well, and they're going to be a tremendous advocate for Buffalo.
Well, and Greg, I can tell you, I travel North America every month, and Buffalo's on the map. When I'm in cities like Phoenix and Atlanta, talking to companies, especially startups, they know who Buffalo is. They've seen the 43 North commercials, and they have, we're on the map now, which we weren't 10 years ago. And that's a great deal of pride for me and others that, and all of us that live here, that, you know, it's not the city of snow, it's the city of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking a lot about the talent here. I just want to throw out a quick few stats for those listening. In the 8 counties of Western New York, we have 21 colleges and universities graduating 28,000 students annually. How can startups collaborate with our university system, which is a really strong mm-hmm. ecosystem, to help fill their pipeline and be able to hire?
I mean, I would argue that's one of the most important things to the development of our community. If you look at a city like Austin, Texas, and how they've established themselves as such a startup hub and so much activity, it was really the collaboration of the companies in the city and, you know, local officials with the university system that's there. It's so important to nurture the talent. You never know if you have the next Steve Jobs, you know, sitting at UB right now. You know, you only know that if you're really digging into the talent in a company that knows what they need and are looking, or a firm that, you know, can be able to take them and move them kind of through the process and the system of, you know, looking for a job and understanding what company to go to. So that, I think it's super, super important for the university system and, you know, the startup ecosystem and just the corporate ecosystem in general to be fully aligned, because we don't want, you know, when I grew up, Buffalo was known a little bit as, well, you know, you have to move out to find the job that you may want coming out of a university, and that's changed quite a bit, you know, over the last number of years. So you never kind of want to go back to, well, there's no jobs around here, so I'm going to leave, even though my family's here. You know, Chris probably sees it a lot, and I see it, of people that want to come back now, and they see what's going on, and, you know, and want to, hey, I went to UB, or, you know, I went to Canisius or wherever else, and I had to move out because they didn't have X jobs available. Now they do, so I want to come back. So that's a great situation to be in. And I think just nurturing that talent from within is the key to keeping everyone here and building a talent pipeline that we need to survive. That is, you know, we're starting to get the companies here, and that's great, and the next phase is really the talent.
I think the opportunity in the marketplace today is more internship and co-op opportunities for students when they're in their freshman, sophomore year versus waiting to their junior, mm-hmm. senior years. I see in other marketplaces I go to that they start in their freshman year. And if you think about it from a company point of view, if I brought you, Greg, in your freshman year, and 4 years later, you graduate, I basically had you as an employee for 4 years. You've interviewed for that entire time. So it's an easy transition. There's more buy-in. There's less likelihood that someone's going to be able to attract you to another market because you want to work for that company. And we got to improve that program throughout Western New York for all companies, but startups can really take key advantage of that by getting people involved in an early stage.
And as a student in that internship, you're then more familiar with the community and just have stronger ties. I know, like, once I started intern, it was my junior year, mm-hmm. but, you know, that's what made me feel most comfortable, is meeting professionals.
Right. You become an ambassador, then. Right. And we need more younger people being ambassadors of Buffalo and the opportunities here, and you're going to tell all your friends, and on your social media, you're going to share that platform,
right.
And that's how you generate the buzz and get people more interested.
Right, off campus, not just a
family, friends,
and
right. You're going to post it on mm-hmm. your Facebook or whatever, and it's going to hit your friends all across the globe that will start looking at Buffalo.
Well, thank you guys very much for your time. Before I let you go, we have a quick blizzard round. We'll go Chris and then Pete.
Okay.
Sure.
If you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Chocolate.
Strawberry.
A book or TV show that you'd recommend?
TV show, The Office.
Startup communities, I'll say for a book because I'm reading it right now from Techstars and Brad Feld. Very good.
Text or phone call?
Phone call.
Text.
Bills or Sabres?
Bills.
Sabres, just because Chris said Bills.
Hiking or skiing?
Neither.
Skiing.
And I'll say golf.
Okay, that's good. And then last question, chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
Drumstick.
Same, drumstick.
Okay, me too. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Bellringer is a podcast by Invest Buffalo Niagara, the region's privately funded, nonprofit, marketing, and economic development organization. Please rate this podcast, follow our social media channels, and read our blog at buffaloniagara.org for the best of Buffalo Niagara. Come grow your business with us.